When you read an e-book, if you're reading, I've got an iPad here. So though I have a physical copy, I have an iPad here. If you read an e-book on Amazon, on a Kindle, sometimes as you're reading, you'll see very lightly there'll be this gray line under certain things. It is, and then there'll be a number that's there. What that means is Amazon is tracking how many people underlined that verse. Well, it could be a verse. It could be just a good point in the book. It doesn't have to be a Bible. So when you see this kind of dotted gray line in a Kindle, it means this many people. It could say 3,280 means they all highlighted it on their Amazon Kindle. Well, one of the interesting things that I read just not too long ago was this, is that Amazon released a list of the most popular passages that were underlined. And they took everything from Hunger Games to Harry Potter, Pride and Prejudice, and they did all this. But they also released the bestseller of all time, which is the Bible. And they wanted to know what was, and I was reading this article, and it said, what was the most underlined verse in the Bible around the world? Around the world. And so I quickly covered it up, and I just go, I'm gonna figure this out myself. I got this. Easy. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Wrong. So then I had another one in my pocket. Psalm 23. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's wrong too. So I had one more to go, and this is it. I knew. I said, you got me on these two, but you won't get me on this one, and that's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's not even it. The number one verse highlighted in Amazon Kindle around the world is this verse. Let me read it to you, and it says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. It is the number one verse around the world highlighted on the e-books. Number one, what is it saying to us? It's saying that there's a people that are struggling with worry and anxiety. But it's also saying that there's a people that believe in a God that answers prayer. In fact, I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in The Message. Listen to this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, what does he say? Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And then verse 7, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Hallelujah. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Such good words for us to remember, because it's a challenge to us. Because here's what it's actually saying. Get this down. If you're going to worry, there's no need to pray. And if you're going to pray, there's no need to worry. So you just have to choose which one you want to do tonight. Because if you're going to pray, you don't have to worry. That's what the scripture says. But if you're choosing not to pray, then have at it. Worry yourself to death here. Because it just doesn't work. It's just, let me ask you this. Because we're going to look at these cards tonight. I've got two cards that I was given tonight to be praying for. Over these requests tonight. One is for healing, and one is for a lost husband. But have you ever worried? Let me ask you this, parents. Let me ask you this, whoever you are tonight. Have you ever worried so much that you've said that, or let me ask it like this. Has anyone made you feel like pulling your hair out? Has anyone ever made you just going like, I can't do this anymore? You've heard that phrase before. How many have ever said that phrase? I'm about to pull my hair out with you. We usually say it to our kids. But listen, what does it mean? It means I'm so frustrated, I don't even know what to do anymore. So this actually happened, that worry and anxiety hit, that there was such tension that was going on in the soul of a man in the Bible that literally he was pulling his hair out because of what he was seeing take place to the people that he loved the most. His name is Ezra. Ezra literally is pulling his hair out. And I'll show it to you in just a few moments. That Ezra begins then, and we're going to see that while he is pulling his hair out, he goes, wait a second, let me take Paul's advice, if he was thinking that way, and let me shape my worry into what? Prayer. I just finished the book of Ezra a couple days ago, and the last two chapters stood out to me. He has just gone through, Ezra has gone through all these battles and hurdles to build the second temple, because they have been in captivity. Their own people have been in Babylon for 70 years, and God releases Ezra and Nehemiah, one to build the temple and one to build the wall. Ezra goes first and begins to build it. He was fought within by his own people, fake people, lost people, but finally got it built. And it wasn't then that he wanted to pull his hair out. And just when you thought the hard work was done, everything was taking place, it was something that took place with the people that were closest to him that he wanted to pull his hair out. And this is, I want you to go with me to the book of Ezra. So if you don't know where that's at, just go to Psalms and turn left. And you'll find it. Ezra heard some news that made him want to pull his hair out. When you read, let me just help you, because some of you are new to the Lord, and some are going to be listening to this online, that you are new to the Lord. And I want you to understand this. When you read the Old Testament, the books are not in chronological order. Some of them are. When you read the first five books, those are going chronologically. And when you get to some of the historical books, but really, after, I would say from after the historical books, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you're going to begin to see that some of them are not in the order. In fact, your Old Testament ends with the book of Malachi, which is really not the last books of the Bible. If you want to know what the last books of the Bible are, it's going to be these books. It's going to be Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. That's and then all of a sudden things go dark. They call it the 400 years, and then Jesus shows up on the scene. But there's this moment, these are historical books, there's Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. They call them post-exilic books. It means post-exile. After what Babylon did, the children of Israel go back to Israel. We said it. Nehemiah builds a wall, Ezra builds a temple. Then what's Esther doing? Esther stays in Persia / Babylon, stays there, and shows in the middle of a system, a godless system, you can still stand up for Jesus in that situation. It was a prayer that I would pray for my children every single day. You can ask them before they would leave for school. I'd pray three things, and the second thing I'd pray for them, I said, God, let them have great Christian character to stand like Joseph, that meant for my son Christian, and Esther, and that meant for my three girls, because I wanted them to know that they can stand and they have role models that they're able to stand. So Ezra goes first, builds the temple. Nehemiah comes next, builds the wall. Esther stays in Persia and stands for God with the help of Mordecai. But after the temple is built, it seems that he thinks the battles are done. Ezra gets this piece of news that makes him want to pull his hair out. Let me give you the news that you see him actually doing this. Here it comes. Now when these things, this is Ezra 9, now when these things had been completed, meaning the temple, the prince approached me saying, the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, even the leadership, have not separated themselves from the peoples of the land according to the abominations of those Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, and the Moabites. What he was saying was, these people that we've been that came back won't let go of unhealthy relationships that are not according to the scripture. They know better. He says, for they have taken some of them as daughters, as wives for themselves and for their sons, that the holy races intermingled with the peoples of the land. Indeed, the hands of the princes and the rulers have been foremost in this unfaithfulness. Now, folks, he hears this. Ezra hears this. He's just completed the temple, almost two decades. The temple took 5 years to build, but 15 years of distraction. That really caught until Haggai and Zechariah started prophesying and they started building again. 20 years, and he's going like, we do all this and you're messing up. So here's what happens. Here it comes. When I heard about this matter, I tore my garment, my robe. Here it comes. I pulled some of the hair from my head and beard and sat down appalled. Think about that. Look next to you. Is there anybody bald next to you? Just go like, you must have been worrying a lot in your life. I'm looking at Elder David O'Neill. I'm looking at Elder Chooks. Pastor Patrick is worrying a little bit. He's not quite there all the way. He hears this news that robs his joy, pulls out his hair in grief. The people he loved are involved in relationships that they never should have been involved in. That's going to be some of these cards we're going to read tonight. And let me give it to you from a different standpoint. The great Christian writer, I want you to get this. You can write it, take a picture of it. You're going to see it on the screen. It's another way to say what we said last night. A.W. Tozer said this: before you talk to men about God, talk to God about men. Let me say that again. Tozer said it a little bit different than we read it last night, the way Ian Bounds said it. Before you talk to men about God, that's the evangelism part, you've got to talk to God about men. And this is where Ezra is going to begin to find really hope. See, when we talk to God about men, we're putting people in God's hands. So as his hair is being pulled out, he's pulling his hair out of his head. Thank God for the next verse. Verse 5 says, "But at evening offering, I arose from my humiliation. Even with my garment and robe torn, I fell on my knees." And let's add to that, "and with a hair loss at this time, stretched out my hands to the Lord my God, and I said," this is his prayer, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen above our heads, our guilt has grown even to the heavens. And since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt, and on account of our iniquities, we, our kings, our priests," he's talking about the leadership here, "have been given into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, to open shame as it is to this day. But now for a brief moment, grace has been shown from the Lord our God." You see, Ezra does what we're called to do tonight. What Elder Chooks and Elder Jerry are going to do in just the next few moments. See, this prayer in Ezra 9 is so powerful, church, and such a challenge to us to get ready to pray for these requests. In just a few moments, our ushers are going to bring down these prayer cards, because there is something in us, there's something in us, all of us, even as Christians, that want to talk to people first instead of God first. Let me say it to you this way. Get this down. There is a fine line between gossip and intercession. There is a fine line between gossip and intercession. It goes like this. You ready for it? You get information about a situation. Now you have the choice. Do I go this way or do I go this way? Do I talk to somebody, listen, that can't do anything about it? Or do I go this way to the God that can bring deliverance? See, that's the fine line. So you get something put in your hand tonight. So here's what happens. You get a card tonight, and all of a sudden, you have the choice to either go, "Hey, you know what card I, what card did you get? What card did I get? Let's share. These people are jacked up." And all of a sudden, you're going like, "We got to fix this." Or you can go, "God, these people are jacked up. They need a miracle tonight." But God's the one that can do something. We're not sharing pain with each other. We're sharing it with God, who's able to do something. Here's what's amazing. I think of what Pastor Patrick and Rosa do here, that lead our whole counseling ministry, and Samuel, who I talked to tonight, 82 years old, who is part of even the counseling ministry. I believe that the counseling ministry in the church has gone up because prayer has gone down in the church. I think the more, and I'm not saying that counseling is wrong. I think there are times that we got to get wisdom from the Lord. But I'm telling you that before you pick up and call to say, "I need counseling," let's go before the Lord first. Let's get before God and just go, "God, what I'm just asking you." And I'm telling you, let God speak. What happens, and this is where we're going to close tonight. What happens when you go to God first? Now remember, Ezra 9. He hears about what's happening with people. That's what we're doing with these cards. Oh my goodness, look what's happening with these people. We have to pray for Owen, a husband not saved and not even living at home. God, what is going to happen? I can imagine this wife pulling her hair out. So she's believing, this wife is believing, "Let's take this to God." Okay, you follow with me? So let me tell you what happens when you talk to God about men instead of men about God first. When you go to God first, so after his hair is pulled out, he says, "I got to pray. I want you to see the next chapter." We go from Ezra 9. Here's the next chapter. You ready for this? While Ezra was what? And making confession, weeping, and prostrating himself before the house of God, a very large assembly. Men, women, children gathered from Israel, and the people started weeping bitterly. Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons, Eliam, and said to Isaiah, Ezra, we have been unfaithful to our God. Ezra never said a word to these people. God spoke to those people as he began to pray. Do you see what happens when you begin to pray? You begin to say, God, your voice is going to be stronger than mine. Listen, mom, who's wants to pull her hair out about the son that's been gone for 20 years. Listen, grandpa, that you've been praying for your grandson. I'm telling you, the voice of your voice, you may feel like my voice doesn't mean anything, and maybe it doesn't, but God always has a voice of authority that can begin to speak to them. See, Ezra did all his talking to God, and when you pray, conviction can come. I want to speak to God first. And don't think you can't pray with this effectiveness. Why? Get this now. It's not about the one who prays. It's about the one who hears our prayer. He's the one. Don't ever feel like I don't know how to pray that way. It's not about you. It's about the one that hears us pray this way. Listen, let me close with this as the band comes, as we get ready to worship and pray tonight. One of the most powerful New Testament truths is a response, really along the same line, is a response to a question to Jesus. It's a response to Jesus. Here's the answer. I'm not going to give you the question. Here's the answer or the truth. You ready for this? And looking at them, Matthew 19, 26, Jesus said, read it out loud with me. With people, this is impossible. Say it loud now. But with God, all things are possible. I think you could say it louder than that, okay? Okay, let me just give you the first part. With people, this is impossible. Come on, church. But with God, all things are possible. That is an answer. It's not just a standalone verse. It's an answer to a question. Jesus is responding to a question here. With God, all things are possible was the answer. Here's the context. A rich young ruler comes who wouldn't let go of his money. Jesus is talking to Jesus, refuses to be a follower of Jesus because of the grip of finances. Jesus speaks, the young man walks away, and then here comes, because I want you to think about this. You said it out loud. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So when Jesus says, with this, it's impossible for man. It's impossible. They can't even do it. Looking at them, Jesus said, with people, this is impossible. So what's the this that he's talking about? Here it comes. Here's the question. When the disciples heard this, that this young man walked away, this is 1925. Here's what it says. When they heard this, they walked away, they were astonished. Here's the question. Then who can be saved? That's this. Here it comes. Who can be saved? So the question is this. Who can be saved? The answer, with God, all things are possible. That means, I'm telling you, what's exciting to me is this. Think of the name. I think of the name that Cindy and I have been praying for years in our family. When I look and I'm thinking, this has been decades for this person. I'm able to say that name, Mel. All things are possible with God. When I think of another name, Libby, all things are possible with God. That when I get this name and I think of Owen tonight on my card, you know what I do? I put my hand, and that's what you're going to do tonight. As Elder Jerry gets ready and Elder Chooks are going to pray, is when Elder Jerry starts praying, you're going to get those cards. Ushers, you can come down and start handing all these cards out. And then you're going to be able to put your hand on that card and say, God, for that name, what are you going to say? With God, all things are possible. Because it's a response to the question, who can be saved? And I want you to be ready tonight. As Elder Jerry and Elder Chooks begin to come up, they're going to begin to pray as we lift up these names. Let me tell you what's going to happen. As the cards are being handed out tonight, Elder Jerry is going to start to pray for the prodigals. He's going to start to pray because some of those cards, many of those cards, are going to have those names like Owen. But then I have another card that literally says this: pray for Barbara, who is diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Pray for healing, that there would be no liver damage from the chemo. Can I just tell you, I think with God all things are possible. It doesn't just work with prodigals, and it doesn't just work with sinners. It also works with cancer, thyroid cancer. So tonight, as Elder Jerry begins to come, he's gonna start to pray for those people that need to be born again. And so as you lay your hands upon those, I'm going to ask that our workers also, I want to make sure all of our band, everybody, oh, you guys, good. Listen, they're already on top of it. I want us to make sure that we're able to go. So when you hear Elder Jerry start to pray, you're going to go, all things are possible with you, oh God. You can save Owen. God, all things are possible, as Elder Chooks prays. You can heal Barbara of thyroid cancer tonight. So I want you to look at your card. I want you to get familiar with it as we get ready to pray tonight. I want you to stand with me. Let's all stand together. I know some of you were just, almost everybody's got their cards tonight. Look down at that card. Just read it one more time. Make sure you know, because when Elder Jerry starts to pray, Elder Chuk starts to pray, I want us to begin then to declare Jesus over all of these things that all things are possible. Come on, Elder Jerry, lead us in this tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.